Sometimes it takes a poet or someone who sees differently to help us to recognize things that have been before us that we never really considered in such a way before. Now, Brigham Young said this of Joseph Smith in an interview with a reporter for the New York Herald in September of 1877. Brother Brigham was talking about Joseph Smith. In the course of the interview, he said that it seems to me that humility and obedience are something very profound and too deep for me. But Joseph Smith was a poet, and poets are not like other men. Their gaze is deeper and reaches the roots of the soul. It is like that of the searching eyes of angels. They catch the swift thought of God and reveal it to us, even at the risk of forgetting their underclothes and their suspenders. I love what this says about the work of a poet, the function of a poet, that there's someone who sees differently, that their gaze is deeper. They look, they observe a little more closely. They reach more deeply into the world around them. They're looking for different connections between things. As Brigham says, it's like that of the searching eyes of angels. They have penetrating gaze. They're looking deeply at things. They catch the swift thought of God and reveal it to us. Now, by poet, I don't mean necessarily someone who writes poetry, but someone who is observing the world around him or her, who is observing closely enough as they do that to catch the swift thought of God. They see this coming on the wind, they sense it, they feel it, even at the risk, Brother Brigham continues, of forgetting their underclothes and their suspenders. Poets are sometimes considered mad. Consider Enoch when he came preaching among the people. He was a powerful language user, and he was able to Well, the people saw this in him, and he was able to be a great influence, in so much that they called him, they said, a strange thing has come among us. This is a wild man. A poet is kind of similar. And perhaps that's one reason why we've turned to our poets when thinking about our mother in heaven. Because in the kind of bureaucratic, the language of the institutional church, the patriarchal church, we lose some of the things that could come in the words of our poets in this very beautiful, metaphoric, symbolic, language that's deeply connected with the earth. Now, lots of the poems I've read about Mother in Heaven, they have taken this, and Melody Nui's The River You Always Knew is no different. It uses metaphor, it seeks the mother's presence in the world around her. Rather, it senses the mother's presence in everything that is taking place around her. The poem begins, "She comes unbidden tonight." That perhaps it's claiming that when we are receptive enough, the Eternal Mother will come unbidden to us. She will come like fireflies that light the garden, or bleeding hearts glow and crickets sing your unborn child to sleep. Will just come upon us as we are willing to look and to observe, to gaze deeply, to look into heaven for 5 minutes, as Joseph Smith stated elsewhere. She moves amid trees, Nui continues, grows roots beneath hearth, warms your bed with moonbeams. She is wisdom in your dreams. Now, this is the Eternal Mother's presence all around her. The poet senses this all around her. She summons errant sons, unbinds her daughter's tongues, welcomes the prodigal home. I love that sense of unbinding her daughter's tongues, that women on the earth who look at the world poetically, who have this poetic imagination, they're able to look deeply at the things around them, to observe, that their tongues become unbound, that they are able to testify, to speak of her, as many, many women and men as well have done in poetry, poetry about the Mother in Heaven. She sets a table for the feast of his coming. She's always there preparing things. She is this presence who sustains us, who builds us, who mends the day, sows dawn to dusk, holds everything together. She is the river you always knew, the river you knew but maybe had never recognized before. You knew it was there, hadn't recognized it. She's the fountain from which you drink. She's the lullaby you hum in the last stanza, the song you sing because your mother knew it. This intergenerational passing down of language, of lullaby, of poetry, of this powerful language that connects us deeply with the earth, and in the process connects us deeply with the makers of the earth, the father, the mother. who are continually present in the world around us. And I love this part at the very end. She is your voice bearing witness on a certain Sabbath, and just now, as sunlight crests the mountain, she is your face in the mirror. Bearing witness that if we look closely enough at ourselves, as well as at the world around us, but even more deeply at ourselves, because again, we carry the genes of the mother and the father, that we will see them moving within us.